How we doing? All right, what do you guys got this morning?
How come the Colts are so good on third down, 30%?
They do a good job mixing it up. They got some good coverage players. Davis and Toller outside, have done a good job of, locking down wideouts and kind of packing the inside part of the coverage. Done a good job with their pressures.
I had a question also about
they mix it up. I mean, it's not like it's just one thing every time. You gotta deal with a lot of different looks.
I had another question about the pressures. Just generally speaking, football conventional wisdom is that the more mobile a quarterback is, the more threat there is. He'll be on the edges. But guys like pocket passers, the more you can get through the A-gap and into the face of the quarterback, the more that player will be distracted because he's not as laterally mobile. You haven't seen that a lot with Tom, and he's not the most mobile guy. Is there a counter that your offense uses to that? Is there a reason that teams don't use that A-gap pressure up the middle?
We see it.
I mean, like Denver seemed it was like a free ride.
Right. I'm just saying over the course of the year we've seen it.
What's the general counter to that? Just stuff in the middle into that spot where they're coming from?
Basically what it comes down to in pass protection is, you can protect the 5, 6, 7, or 8 guys. The normal would be 6. So the 5 linemen plus somebody else is your 6th guy. So that would handle 6 potential rushers. If they bring 7, then you're either hot or you need to have a 7th guy in protection, tight end and the back, or 2 backs in the backfield or something like that. So just really it comes down to a numbers game. I mean, whether they put the guy in the A-gap, the B-gap, or bring him outside, wherever he is, if it's a 6th guy, then somebody's got to block him. Question is that 6th guy on your back or is he on one of your linemen? He's on one of your linemen, then you get your back out. If he's on your back, then your back stays in. Then the guy who's covering the back, then he cuts too. So then they add in. So it's really, I think it's more how many they bring than where they bring them. Mm-hmm. I mean, where they bring them, you got to block them. So, but the question is how many they bring. So if you have 5-man protection, then the 6th guy potentially is a problem depending on whether or not that 6th guy, like defensively, you don't know if that's that 5th guy that you bring, you don't know whether he's going to be blocked by the line or not. If he's blocked by the line, then you got to cover all the receivers. If he's blocked by a receiver, then you gain a guy somewhere, gain him in coverage, or you can add him into the rush. So that's kind of the protection part of it. I mean, from a gap control standpoint, there's really when you rush a passer, you have 6 gaps you have to control. There's 5 linemen, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a total of 6 gaps. So if you rush 4, then theoretically you have 2 gaps that are free. So, a quarterback can step up and find that gap if he wants to, quarterback draw or if he scrambles or whatever. If you rush 5, then you technically only have kind of 1 gap free. If he steps up and, finds that opening. But, I mean, that's the problem with rushing 4 guys against a mobile quarterback is, you kind of have 2 dead gaps there. You bring 2 guys on the outside to contain them, and then you have 4 gaps inside. You only have 2 rushers. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of space for them to defend. If you bring 5, then you can restrict that space a little bit, but then that creates problems on the other end.
Because the linebacker's kind of not in between where they have to drop, but pay attention to those gaps in the middle.
It depends on what coverage you're in. I mean, if you're in man-to-man coverage, then they're assigned to men. If you're in zone coverage, then you have vision on the quarterback. So there's advantages to being in zone coverage against a mobile quarterback in terms of vision.
How much has the communication improved in that interior offensive line since that you've had a little bit more consistency in terms of personnel?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's really a time issue. I don't think it's a problem with any individual player. I think it's just the opportunity to continue to do it over weeks, practices, days, weeks, months now. They're just, you know, get the same look. A lot of communications between the quarterback and the line as well. You know, making sure that the quarterback knows who's blocked and who isn't. Or the quarterback telling the line who he wants blocked and who he doesn't want blocked, who he wants to handle. So, you know, there's all that element of it too. But I think the more you do it, you know, the better you get at it. You know, we've had different players play in there in different combinations. I don't think that's, you know, ever been a major issue. I mean, it's obviously something that hadn't been perfect and there are breakdowns from time to time, but I don't think it's been a major issue.
What have you seen out of Jamie Collins
recently? Well, you know, I think Jamie and I both have taken on additional responsibilities in a lot of areas, you know, since Gerard was injured in the Buffalo game. So that, you know, varies from situation, what defense we're in, what group we have on the field, so forth. But his responsibilities have increased, as have highs, in terms of setting the front, making coverage adjustments, sometimes changing pass rush adjustments or rush lanes. So, you know, we're not always in the same thing, so it varies depending on what we're in, what group we have on the field, and what we have called.
Just to get back to the bringing pressures, and I know you're talking about it from a protection standpoint, but on the other side, how flexible does it make you guys when you have guys in the middle like Jamie and Hightower that seem to have, they have a lot of experience as pass rushers too, from coming from different spots in the field. Does it make you guys more flexible to have those guys in the middle be able to?
Yeah, well, I think defensively, the more things a player can do, you know, defensively, the more valuable the player is. So if he can rush and cover, or play the run and pass rush, or play man and zone, or play corner and safety, or inside and outside, yeah, those things just add value to your defense. You don't have to substitute as much. You're able to, you know, keep the same players on the field and do different things. You know, so if you have guys that can, you have a guy that can rush, that's good. You have a guy that can play man-to-man, that's good. You don't have to worry about that matchup. He can play zone, it's instinctive, and, you know, then that's good. You don't have to call whatever you want. I mean, that'd be great if you keep the same guys on the field all the time and have enough versatility to, you know, do what you want to do, have safeties that could cover receivers, and, you know, have linebackers that could play the run, it could blitz, and could play out in space and coverage. That'd be ideal. That'd be great. Just put 11 guys out there, you wouldn't, you know, you'd have to make them, you'd be forcing the matchups on the offense, but, you know, they're hard to find.
We hear quite a bit about luck and his ability to throw the ball, but how important has their running game been with Bradshaw and that being complementary to the passing attack?
Yeah, good. Yeah, they're well balanced. Both backs have been productive running the ball. Both backs have been productive catching it. They use a lot of different formations: 3 wide receivers, 2 wide receivers, 1 wide receiver in the running game. Play action. Running game sets up play action. Tight ends are effective blocking. They're effective receiving. So they're a well balanced offense.
Looks like onside kick. Is that something you have to be more prepared for this week?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, they do. You know, they've had a couple surprise onside kicks. They kind of overload put the formation to kind of displace the front of your kickoff return unit, and that creates some potential openings or spaces. And they got the must onside kick against Denver, so they recovered 3 onside kicks, 2 surprises. Yeah, it's definitely something. I mean, you don't want to give away ever a possession. It's the most important thing when any return game, kickoff or punt return, is number one, you get the ball. That's number one. So you always defend that, but it's probably a little more of an issue this week because they've done it. You know, we know that McMahon will do those kind of things. I mean, they'll, you know, they're a very aggressive special teams unit in terms of rushes, fakes, onside kicks, so things like that. Yeah, it's definitely a another weapon in their game that you have to defend.
I'm just sticking with the kicking game. Vinatieri's still perfect on the season, I think. It's crazy to see him still out there doing it.
Yeah, he's just kicking the ball great. The ball goes just perfectly straight. Doesn't move, just yeah. Every kick's right on the money. You gotta try to block it. I mean, waiting for him to miss, you'd be waiting all day. So, you know, you gotta try to, you know, see if you can somehow affect the kick. But yeah, he's kicked the ball great, no question.
You weren't here in 95 when he started his first year.
But 96.
Right. And was his first year 96?
Yeah, it was my first year. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember any of your early interactions with him? Because I know how special he was.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, so, I mean, there were a lot of us that year. You know, that was Brewski and, you know, Glenn, that whole draft. Mm-hmm. Then there were a few free agents in there that year, too. Tupo and Vinatieri. I had a lot of interaction with those guys.
Do you remember working him out?
No, on the field, you know, we practiced and, you know, had a good relationship with Tom, Tupa, obviously, you know, a good relationship with Adam. And, that was good. It was a good group, really. It was a good, worked after practice with those guys, you know, with Sweatman and, you know, Troy, you know, returning punts and so forth. You know, I got to work with those guys some, you know, and because, you know, others of us would help Mike out with the kicking game, you know, scout teams or, you know, doing return or, you know, whatever the phase was. And so, you know, Charlie and I, Dante, of course, you know, I mean, we had, I think, like five special teams coaches on that staff. Romeo, myself, Dante, Mike, this might have been another one on offense. But, you know, Al, you know, we were all involved in the kicking game. It was definitely, you know, Adam's really, you know, mature, you know, he played in Europe, but, you know, really mature kid at that point. Obviously kicked a lot of bad weather out of South Dakota, so that didn't really faze him, you know.
There was a game, I didn't research, but he had several misses. I don't know if it was against Baltimore or somebody, he had like four or five misses. Do you remember this? Anyway, he had multiple misses in a game, and I think that he was kind of up against it. And do you remember that game at all? And
yeah, I mean, he wasn't the kicker then that he is now. I mean,
right.
There's, you know.
Was there any sense of panic, or did you like the way his mental makeup was as a young player?
No, I think he had a great, great mental makeup. I mean, as good as, like I said, I've been really, you know, lucky here. You know, with Steve and Adam, but, you know, as good a mental makeup as any kicker I've been around, you know, relative to, you know, Cleveland, Baltimore, Jim Turner in Denver, Errol Mann in Detroit, Barr, you know, Barr had a good makeup. I mean, there's, you know, I wouldn't say there's been a lot of bad ones, but his is, you know, great. I mean, like Steve, he was, you know, worked out with all the players, did the off-season program, didn't have his own, you know, kicking program. He did what the other players did in terms of running, lifting, you know, had a good interactive personality. Tupa was good, too, you know, at that same time. I don't know how much Tupa influenced that, whether he kind of, you know, fed off of Tom a little bit. But, you know, Tom was a quarterback and, you know, same type of similar. So. Yeah, involved in everything, not just off to the side kicking, but they were, you know, involved in a lot of other things, you know, and on defense, you know, we used Adam and Tom, I mean, because again, both pretty athletic guys, you know, as scout team type guys and practice and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, there's some kickers you wouldn't do that with. Those guys were just, you know, gave you a good look.
Adam turns 42 in late December. I'm curious, from your experience, seeing the way he's kicking, where he's kicking, they don't have him doing the kickoffs. What do you think is the end game for him in terms of how long he can go, assuming he wants to?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't think anybody's kicking better than he is. I mean, there's a lot of guys kicking good, but I don't think anybody's kicking any better. You know, And he's, you know, he's in a great, great situation with, you know, as far as not having to deal with the kickoffs. But as far as putting the ball down the middle between the uprights, he's tremendous. So, the way he's kicking now, I mean, I don't see where the end in sight is. His distance isn't a problem. Accuracy's not a problem. You know, he gets good lift on the ball. Not exceptional, but good. So, you know, just kicking in a good environment. So, he's drilling him. He looks great.
Obviously, it didn't end as everybody anticipated it would, but you quickly replaced him with Steven Gostkowski here through the draft. When you have a player who you have a backlog of experience with and then they go someplace else, is there a hatchet burial where you go up to the guy and say, is every relationship different? Have you done that with Adam?
I mean, look, it's the NFL, Tom. I mean, players change teams every year. Like, this isn't a big news story, is it?
No.
Players change teams?
Yeah, I know. Guys, important players sometimes, you know, go up and say it.
Yeah, look, I've always had a good relationship with Adam. I mean, you know, the NFL is a business. That's, I'm not trying to write a story for you here, but, like, this isn't news. This is free agency every year. Players change teams. We get them. Other guys get our guys. I mean,
well, you know that old quote. They call it a business, we call it a game. We call it a game, we call it a business, whatever it is. So, I mean, that's the undercurrents of the whole model.
It's the NFL. Yeah. And it'll be some next year. You can write about those, too. You can make a big story out of that. So-and-so left the Patriots or somewhere else. There it is. You can get a head start on it right now.
I already jumped on it yesterday. Great. 5 weeks gave me a great opportunity.
There you go.
Do you spend any time?
Can't get anything by you.
No. Do you spend time on that stuff right now? Projecting? Because obviously you have a number of guys who are going to be up at the end of the year.
Right now we're on Indy.
Indianapolis, yeah.
Yeah.
Spend a pre-free agent press conference in time. We're here for you.
Yeah, I'll leave that to the experts.
Bill, you were spending some time the other day talking about the defensive secondary. I'm just curious, in your history in the game, when you look at the great corners, whether it's Mike Haynes's or Daryl Green's or go on to like a Deion Sanders, obviously they have a certain skill set. But when you look at them, how important is confidence? Because
huge. It's huge.
Have you ever had a guy who you looked at and said he has all the tools to be the number one corner, but because of that aspect he couldn't attain that?
Multiple times. Yeah. Yep. It's a tough position to play, you know, mentally. You know, there's not that many plays that you're really involved in. 6, 8, 10, whatever it is, you know, could be one or two, but those are the game changing plays. So, yeah, it's a big part of that position. It's not like being a pitcher or a quarterback. You know, you're going to get another chance to throw the ball. Those guys, you know, they only get. I mean, there's only so many plays for them, but they're huge. They're big plays. Confidence is a big part of it. Yeah, no question.
Any examples of guys that...
I can give you plenty of them. And then there's the flip side, the guys that you look at athletically and say they're, you know, don't have this, don't have that, don't have something else, but lack some skills relative to, you know, top athletic guys at that position. You know, the Everson Walls and the Lem Barneys and guys like that, and they have, you know, 50-some career interceptions, and they're all over the receivers no matter what route they run, you know. But when you put them on a stopwatch, it's, you know, you shake your head and say, you know, worried about his speed, but there's game speed and there's anticipation and there's instincts, and those things can neutralize some testing measurables. So, huge part of the huge part of that game.
Your final question?
Yeah, you spoke about Steven and Adam there, but I'm wondering, it seems like on special teams in terms of coverage, you guys have a lot of experienced guys, whether it's Matthew or Cias or even Ebner is a relatively young player, but played a lot of football. So I'm wondering how, for as a staff, how that, I don't know, does that allow you guys to be more creative with those units, or does it, how does it help you guys to have so many players that have so much experience in that phase?
I think there's just a lot of little things that, it'd be really hard to quantify, but a kicking game is nothing more than organized chaos. I mean, you got guys running around all over the place, but there's an organization to it, but there's certainly an improvisation to the whole, every play. Every play is different. It's one thing you learn about coaching special teams is every kick is different. The situations are different, then the players that you're matched up against are different. So each play has its own unique qualities. But when you have experienced guys playing together, a lot of that's being able to play off each other. So, if you're here, I'm there, I can replace you, or you can replace me, or we can, see the play unfold and just, get to the right spots based on experience and anticipation and kind of that, mental communication of, I see what you're seeing, I know what you're going to do, therefore I know what I'm going to do to compensate for that. But that comes through experience and reps and just the anticipation of what to do and experience, having the confidence to know, do I have time to do this and still be there? Do I have to just go there right now? And who's the returner and where's the kick and what's the hang time and what's the, and you just have to somehow factor all those things, computerize them all into your system and adjust on the run and go. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. And those guys have to make a lot of decisions, in split seconds, and it all changes, after 2, 3, 4 steps down the field, and then how it starts and then how it develops and then what happens and guys get bumped and fall down and their lanes adjust, or you go to block a guy but somebody's there before you get to your guy, and do you block him, do you bump him, still get your guy, do you take their guy, all that. There's a million things like that. So, like I said, the more experience you have, the more that guys play together and, you're out of position, I'll take your guy, you scramble and try to get my guy, and now I'm just going to stick on my guy, you scramble and try to get your guy. All those things, it's just, there's no substitute really for experience in doing it. It's a lot of that stuff you get on the chalkboard, but once you get out on the field, it's a whole new world. And I'm telling you, every kick's different. The distance, the direction, the hang time. In addition to all the different situations that come up, they're just, when you have to actually, deal with the ball in flight and the relationship of, the blocker to the coverage player to the ball to the, to where it is on the field, the angle, it's all different. So there's an instinctiveness and an awareness that's tie. It's not by the book. You got to read it as you go. So that experience, it really helps. Jonathan, has really done a good job of that, coming in doing that. Don's given us that. Jones, Slater, Chris, like you said, Nate, even though he's a young player. Tavon, I mean, they're young, but those guys have played a lot of snaps in the kicking game. Same thing with Bolden. Those guys are, 3-year type players, but it's been a lot of plays, and it certainly wasn't where they were 2 years ago. But now playing together, being under the same coaching staff, being under the same type of system, following the same rules, having the same, sometimes you have latitude, sometimes you don't. You got to know when you do, when you don't, who you're working with, so forth and so on. So it's, yeah, experiences, it's huge. It's big. Okay. All right. Thanks.